The headline of an article in today's USA Today reads, "Business travelers abroad may get grilled on U.S. politics." During this election year, it's hard for Americans overseas to avoid questions about the presidential candidates, about the campaign, about issues like immigration, Iraq, the economy, and the Electoral College. And sometimes casual conversation can become uncomfortable. Business travelers, we want to hear your stories. If you've recently been to London or Lagos, well, Moscow or Shanghai or anywhere else outside our borders, we want to hear your stories. Have you been asked about American politics? Did you feel comfortable? What did you say? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. As always, you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blog of the nation. You can also find a link there to today's article in USA Today. Joining us now from the studios of member station WABE in Atlanta is Mercedes Alfaro, the president of First Impression Management. She coaches business travelers on etiquette, and she was quoted in that USA Today article. Mercedes Alfaro, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Well, thank you so much, Neil.
And according to today's article, a recent poll shows that more than 80% of Japanese say they're interested in the U.S. election, more than even here at home. Almost 60% of Germans say they're interested, 52% of Australians. How can you possibly avoid politics when you're traveling abroad?
Well, if you absolutely cannot, because they are very interested in our politics. But I do caution people to just, you know, watch the flow of the conversation, because these are business people who are traveling. You need to build relationships. And even in basic dining etiquette, you always tell people, don't talk about topics that, you know, get the conversation too heated. It's not to say to totally avoid it, but be intelligent enough to be able to quote both sides of the pros and cons of the different candidates.
So act diplomatically, you're suggesting?
Absolutely.
So is it ever a good idea to bring it up on your own?
I would avoid it, bringing it up. There are other things, topics that you could talk about with your colleagues that they would be interested in, and when you're establishing a relationship with them. And, you know, they even tell you to avoid politics when you of the country that you're visiting, because you never know. I've said before, it's almost like asking someone, what is your favorite color? But yet again, it's a heated discussion if you don't both see the different points.
Because politics can also get emotional pretty quickly, and you could end
absolutely
up getting into an argument with your a potential partner and blow the deal.
Or offend their feelings. And again, when you want to build a relationship with someone, you try to find what you have in common, not what you have that's different. Now, if you both have the same point of view, by all means, continue the conversation. But if you have opposing view from what your colleague is saying, then that's when I bring up the caution flag.
And would your advice be different for tourists than for business people?
For tourists, yes, it would be different. If you meet someone casually and you happen to get into a conversation, then state your opinion. It's different when you're trying to build a relationship with a business colleague or a business partner.
And, of course, anybody representing the government, well, there's the old Hatch Act. You have to be careful about that. You're not supposed to be doing politics on government time.
Absolutely. And you have to be extremely careful what you say, because it can always get back.
I wonder, I suspect you've traveled abroad fairly recently.
Yes.
Has this
yes.
happened to you? Have you been asked about American politics, the mysteries of the Electoral College, or any other things?
Yes, I have. And basically, I let them first. This is the big secret. When you're building relationships with other people, you let them talk first. You give them ample time so they can express their opinions. And wonderful as it may be, they think because you're listening to them, you're paying respect to them, and they begin the process of building rapport with you and liking you. And once someone likes you, they're more willing to do business with you.
It's part of the secret of interviews, especially when you're being recorded, is to people often have something to say. You let them say it. And if you want to edit it out later, you go ahead and do it.
Right. And so, and people really enjoy that, just the opportunity to express their opinions and to be heard.
That's good advice. And thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Mercedes Alfaro, the founder and president of First Impression Management, with us from the studios of WABE, our member station in Atlanta. Well, we want to hear from those of you who have traveled abroad. Has the issue of politics come up, and especially for business people, because do you treat it differently than perhaps tourists do? 800-989-8255 is our phone number. Email us, talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Christine. Christine with us from Oswego in Illinois.
Hello. I was at an event, and I was personally held responsible for the fall of the North Rock Bank in England. It really took me aback.
North Rock, roughly equivalent to the Lehman Brothers problem here.
That's right. And I said I had no responsibility whatsoever. And about 2 years ago, I was traveling on November 5th. And I was asked by about four or five different people, I consult for the UN, about four or five people, why I wasn't in the United States voting. And I informed them that I had voted before, and they said they couldn't believe that you could vote before November 5th. And they knew what the voting date was, and they were very informed. They find American politics fascinating, and I find English politics absolutely fascinating, but I can only say to those people, I married an Englishman, to those people who find themselves accused, and it's usually an accusation because, of course, we haven't been around very long and we're rather dumb, is simply to smile and say, well, you know, sort of smile and act dumb. I find if somebody else has better advice, I'll take it. But I speak five languages, and I work for the UN. I have a couple advanced degrees, one from Cambridge. And all I can do is sort of smile and act dumb.
So when in doubt, to play down to the stereotype.
Yes. I mean, when I was living in France and I got hassled, I'd say, pardon, je suis Norvège, because, you know, nobody can hassle a Norwegian because they can't speak Norwegian. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Christine. We appreciate it. Here's an email from Amanda. I recently visited Japan and was asked constantly who I'd be voting for. People there seem to expect everyone to be voting for Barack Obama, who, from what I heard, a lot of Japanese compare to their hugely popular former Prime Minister, Junichiro Koizumi. Perhaps because of this comparison, they seem to view Obama, not McCain, as the maverick who will shake things up in Washington. Let's go now to Mary, and Mary's on the line with us from St. Louis.
Yes, hi there.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I've been traveling quite a bit lately to, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, London, Bermuda, and everywhere I go, people ask me about the election. It's just been amazing, and they flat out ask me who I'm voting for.
And do they have some grip of the of our electoral system here, do you think?
Yes, more so than some people I've talked to in the States.
Well, that's, again, I suppose that's not a surprise. What are the issues they bring up?
Well, I think they're, believe it or not, even though we have the economy situation here, they're very concerned about the war. They really want somebody to come in and do the war, and they really see McCain, and no matter what your politics is, they see McCain as somebody who will perpetuate the Bush dynasty, so to speak, and they're very concerned about that.
So fairly or unfairly, they would see McCain as Bush 3, as certainly the Democrats are trying to paint it.
Exactly.
All right. Interesting, exactly. Mary. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is an email from Jay in Minneapolis. I traveled to Brazil and India recently. There is great interest about this year's presidential race abroad. People have commented to me that they cannot believe there's actually a candidate running who is of mixed race. The overall impression I've been left with is that to have an American president with an African father is too wild and radical a concept to be taken seriously. There's skepticism followed by testimony that if Obama could actually win it, would be a great day for all the world. My camel driver in India said it would change the way we see America and its talk of equality. Let's go now to James. James with us from Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I was recently in four countries in Western Europe, my first trip to Europe. And I've got a couple stories, but the first is when I was having my bag checked at the Pompidou Center, I made the gentleman guess my nationality when he asked it, and eventually when I smiled when he said American, he said McCain or Obama. And I made him guess again, and he guessed Obama, and then he told me that every American he had asked that question had said they were for Obama. And thinking about it, I told him I thought there were two reasons for that. My impression is first that those supporting the Republican ticket aren't as likely to travel, and if they were, France probably would be the last place they would go, given the bad rap the Republican Party gave France over being right about the Iraq War.
You were there on as a tourist?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much, James.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Paul. Paul Weathers from Denver, Colorado.
Hi.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead, please.
We were in New Zealand for about 4 weeks back from February to middle of February to middle of March when the primaries were still going on. And we're really flabbergasted at how closely the Kiwis follow American politics. It was all over their television and newspapers, and we had quite a lot of people talk to us about, you know, oh, what do you think about Hillary? What do you think about Obama? And, of course, they have a female prime minister there, and so they were...
And not the first either, yeah.
They were pretty interested in Hillary, but I had even one person say to me that people sometimes criticize the Kiwis because they tend to follow American politics more closely than they do their own.
So they were able to pretty much parse out the white middle class vote in West Virginia?
Not quite to that level of detail. And some people who, you know, asked us a lot of questions about Hillary weren't too up on, you know, how Bill figured into the whole picture.
All right. Interesting, Paul. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Bye-bye. This from Peg in Des Moines, Iowa. Last February, we traveled to Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. We stayed with families, and our host was fascinated that our country would consider a black man for president. While driving through a small, isolated town, we had to stop to allow people to cross in front of us. A group of boys, maybe 11 or 12 years old, ran up to us and shouted, "America, America, Obama, Obama." Even in this isolated area, people were excited and knew about Barack Obama. Let's see, we got one last caller in, and this is Alberto. Alberto with us from San Francisco.
Yes, hello. I was actually in throughout the Balkans this past summer, and in one instance in particular, I was in Belgrade, Serbia, and this woman, a friend of a, you know, a sister of a friend, basically asked me, first of all, there was no question that Barack Obama was going to win, and in that, she asked me, you know, when he actually gets into power. Did I think that there was going to be change? Did I think that in regards to foreign policy and the war and everything? And in my cynicism, I you know, kind of explained to her that, you know, that it's not one person that dictates policy in this country, and that in fact I didn't think that the change that she was looking for was in fact going to come. And I literally saw her face and her eyes kind of get misty, and I really took a lot of, I guess, hope out of her, and I felt completely horrible. And you know, it wasn't until I got back in the car with her brother, and I kind of apologized for that, and he just basically explained to me that a lot of people in the Balkans and a lot of people, I guess, in what I consider to be third world countries and stuff, hold, I guess, the hope that with the power going to Barack Obama, as far as they see it, that there's going to be a drastic change when in regards to foreign policy and a drastic change in regards to how the Balkans is viewed and treated and stuff like that, and less like demonization over there. And I felt completely horrible that, in fact, I totally
Alberto
went out of her sails.
Alberto, we hope you're feeling better. Thanks for the phone call.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.